to fulfill the Word of God. And this is where I want to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. And here, Paul states very clearly three things. Three things in this verse. Paul states very clearly three things. Look at it with me. Colossians 1, 25 says, Paul said, whereof I am made a minister. Okay? So that's the first thing. God made Paul a minister. And then he said, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Now, don't let the word dispensation scare you. We get the verb dispense. So what God did is there was a dispensing of truth. There was a deposit of truth, which we covered in point number one. There was a deposit of truth that God gave to Paul. There was a dispensing of divine truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and he said, then I gave it to you. I gave it to the church. Number three, the third thing here we see, look at verse 25. He said that this fulfills, to fulfill the Word of God. So in your handout, it says this body of truth that God gave Paul, this deposit of truth, it fulfilled the Word of God. Now that word fulfill, and I've got that in your handout also. The word fulfill means to complete. To finish. So Paul said that God gave me this deposit of truth, and this deposit of truth fulfills, it completes, finishes the Word of God. Now, Paul received truth for this dispensation of grace today that we live in that was not previously revealed. In fact, look at verse 26. Everybody look down at verse 26. He's going to explain to you this deposit of truth he received. Look at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been, here's a key word, it hath been what? Hid. So God hid this deposit of truth from ages and from generations. But what are the next two words? But now. See, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. So Paul said in verse 26, this deposit of truth was a mystery. It was unrevealed. It was a mystery. It was kept secret. It was hid. He said, but it's now made manifest. I mean, can you imagine for a moment if when Denise and I got married, if I had $1 million in the bank and didn't tell her? And then on our 25th wedding anniversary, I revealed that mystery to her? Now, honey, don't expect that to happen, all right? Because that is not going to happen. That is totally fairy tale illustration time, all right? But imagine that I had this secret hidden in me, okay? And I had $1 million in the bank, and on our 25th, I kept it a secret for 25 years, and then on our 25th wedding anniversary, I revealed the secret, I revealed the mystery, and I told her, you know, this great blessing. Well, God had a secret that He kept in Himself that He determined before the foundation of the world in Himself. He purposed it in Himself, Ephesians 1 says. And then when the time came, God revealed this mystery. He revealed this secret, and He revealed it to Paul. Now, we're going to kind of discuss this thing. But this body of truth that God kept secret over here, and then, boom, when the time was right, He revealed it to Paul. This body of truth, Paul said, fulfilled, it completed the Word of God. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, in your handout, it says before that revelation Paul got, the Bible was basically broken down into two categories. The law, okay, write that in, the law and the prophets. Now, this is where we're going to go over to Matthew 5. All right, Matthew chapter 5. The Bible was basically, before Paul's revelation, was broken down into two categories, the law and the prophets. Look with me at Matthew 5, verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy, first of all, he said what? The law. Number two, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but he said, I'm come to fulfill. Go to Matthew 7, chapter 7. Notice how Jesus refers to his word as the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, 12. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the, say it with me, law and the prophets. Notice how he takes the Bible, breaks it into two categories. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. He says the first, boy, you ought to know this, huh, from Sunday mornings. What's the first and greatest commandment in the Bible? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What's the second greatest commandment in the Bible? Love thy neighbor. Yeah, we know that, don't we, from the Sunday morning messages. Now, notice after he teaches them that, look at verse 40, what he says. On these two commandments hang all the, say it, law and the prophets. So again, we see this. Now look in your handout, and I've got John 1:45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Again, we see the law and the prophets. Now, who did God give the deposit of truth to of the law, the Old Testament law? What man did God give that to? Moses. And then Moses gave it to the nation of Israel. Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2 that was complete. You can't add to the law. He said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. The law is complete. God gave this deposit of truth to me. Israel, I gave it to you. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. So the law is said to be complete. So the law, but what was the other section of the Bible? The prophets. The prophets were sent by God, okay, with messages from the Lord. Do we have any verses? Do we have that one? Okay, good. I forgot to look. Zechariah 7:12. Notice this verse. Zechariah, by the way, is one of the Old Testament prophets. And it says, yea, they made their hearts, talking about Israel, as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit. How did God send it? By the former what? Prophets. So God gave His word twofold. He gave His word through the law, but then God also sent prophets with revelations from the Lord, and they were Jewish prophets, and they would go with messages for the nation of Israel, and these prophets would go and with all kinds of different prophetic messages concerning the nation of Israel. Now, is prophecy complete today, or is God still dispensing prophecy? Yeah, it's complete. It better be, right? Because if it's not complete, then that fellow on TV who says, I'm getting a word from the Lord, then we better listen to him, huh? Or at least try him and test him and see if it's true. No, God's not dispensing more prophecy today. You say, how do you know, Pastor Dan? Well, because Revelation 22 is a book of prophecy that deals with the future. It deals with after we're caught up at the rapture, it deals with the 7 years of tribulation. It deals with Christ's return to the earth. It deals with the kingdom that Christ is going to bring to the earth. And then it also tells you about eternity future and what's going to happen out there once God destroys this earth and brings in a new heaven and a new earth. And then at the very end of that prophetical book, which God gave to the Apostle John, what does John say at the end of the book of Revelation? He says, you better not what? Add to it, and you better not take away from it. This book of prophecy is complete. So we know that prophecy is complete. We know that the law is complete. So before Paul, the Bible was basically broken down into two categories, the law and the prophets, okay? Now, just in case somebody would bring this up, because they might, somebody may say that, well, what about Luke 16:16, where Jesus talks about the law and the prophets, but then he says that John and himself preached the kingdom of God? Well, okay, let me real quickly, in case that comes up, when John and Jesus came on the scene, you've got to understand, John the Baptist and Jesus were both prophets, okay? And as they came confirming what the Old Testament prophets said, only with one addition. They said the kingdom of God that they prophesied and told you about, it's at hand, it's near. So they gave some new information about the prophetic program. But they were prophets, and so they would still, what the message that John the Baptist and Jesus brought would still fall, that kingdom of God message would fall under the prophetic program, the prophets. And somebody else may bring up, well, what about Luke 24:44, where Jesus talks about the law and the prophets and the Psalms? The Psalms are Old Testament books that were poetic. They were Psalms. They were poems. They were written in poetic form. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations. These were poetic books of Psalms. Now, they were written during the Old Testament law economy. All right, so they were Psalms that had prophecies within them, and they were written under the Old Testament law economy. So they also would fall under the law and the prophets. Okay, so basically, without getting into a bunch of technical stuff, you've got the Bible divided into two categories. You got the law. Say it with me. We got what? The law. And then you got the prophets. Today, are both of those bodies of truth, are they complete? Yes or no? They're both said to be complete. You cannot add to them. You cannot take away from them. So now, God dispenses to the Apostle Paul new revelation that wasn't in the law and it wasn't contained in the prophets. Information that had previously, Paul said, been kept secret. That's why we know that the law and the prophets, it's not there. Paul said it was previously kept secret from ages and from generations. So how did God dispense this information to Paul to give to us? Well, he did it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians with me, chapter 1. Okay, the book of Galatians. God actually gave this to Paul, not through human instrumentality. Paul didn't get it from Peter or James or John. He got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, from heaven. Okay, he got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven. Galatians 1, verse 11. Galatians 1, verse 11. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after what? Man." Look at verse 12. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." Well, then how did you get it, Paul? But by the revelation of who, church? Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? You believe God's word? Listen, all truth must be initially revealed to somebody, right? The law of Israel God had to give it to somebody to give to them. Of course, Moses was that human vessel God used, and God gave it to Moses and gave it to Israel. The prophetic messages for Israel, well, it had to come from somewhere. God had to dispense it to somebody, so he gave it to those prophets. Then they would go and proclaim that message to Israel. Well, you know, the information for us today, it had to come from somewhere. And God dispensed that revelation. He dispensed that body of that deposit of truth. He gave it to Paul. See, Paul was the one chosen to be the recipient of that revelation. Now, in your handout, it says that if you'll turn your handout to the next page there, it says that Paul did not receive God's word in one revelation, but rather a series of revelation. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul calls it, he refers to it as an abundance of revelations. And by the way, this is in the book of Acts. He wrote that. So, I mean, he got a ton of them after that. So in the book of Acts, Paul had already received an abundance of revelations, and there were much more to come. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts 26, and I'm going to give you several things here about these revelations that Paul got. And I'm going to kind of break it down for you into some groups so you can kind of get a feel for the revelations that Paul got, this body of truth that fulfills, it completes the Word of God for us today. In your handout, I'll give you the statement first. Paul received a revelation from Christ initially at his salvation. So his first revelation came, boom, right when he got saved. Look with me at Acts 26, verse 15. Acts 26, verse 15. Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now notice the revelation he gets here. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee..." Notice Christ said, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen..." Notice, "and of those things in the which I will..." What? "Appear unto thee." So Paul got his first revelation when he got saved, but Christ made it real clear that, hey, you can expect more. There's going to be future revelations. In your handout, it says Paul received a revelation concerning the grace and gospel found in the cross. We already read about that. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. He talked about the gospel that he received was not of man. Look in your handout, please, at Romans 3, 22. This is the revelation he got about the gospel. Look at Romans 3, 22. "Even the righteousness of God..." Well, how do we get it, Paul? Well, it's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Just believe. Faith alone. For there is no difference. So Paul got this revelation of the finished work of Christ on the cross, see? And then in your handout, it says Paul also received revelations all during the book of Acts. So on all those missionary journeys he took, the first, second, third, he's getting revelations from God. How do you know that? Because he wrote Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Romans all during the Acts time period. In your handout, it says Paul received revelations while in prison, after the book of Acts concluded. And I list some of those books there that Paul received revelation after prison. I mean, after the book of Acts was complete. So, if I could, when you're done writing, if I could get your attention, I'm going to kind of lay it out here. Paul gets saved, he gets an initial revelation, some truth. Okay? Then He, in the book of Acts, he begins receiving an abundance of revelations. He writes Galatians. He writes 1st, 2nd Corinthians. He writes 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. He writes Romans. He's getting all these wonderful revelations about how God's grace can go directly to the Gentiles, how the Jew no longer enjoys a favored status before God, how Jew and Gentile believers are brought into a spiritual union called the body of Christ, and we enjoy spiritual privilege and access before God, that Gentiles are no longer under the Old Testament law system. He's getting all these revelations, see, during the book of Acts. Then the book of Acts concludes in Acts 28 with Paul setting aside Israel. And he says, "Hey, you know what, Israel? I'm setting you aside. I'm going to the Gentiles." Israel's program is set aside at the end of Acts 28. Okay, Paul's in prison, by the way, then. And then Paul receives like the pinnacle of truths. And he writes, after Israel is set aside, and their program is set aside, there in Acts 28, he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, which we studied last year, Philemon. So he writes these books. So Paul's getting these series of revelations over the course of his life after he's saved. And God, after the book of Acts is complete, God begins to reveal to Paul such things as that we're complete in Christ. After the book of Acts is complete, he receives revelation that you and I that are saved, we've been seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. He begins receiving these revelations from the Lord that we have been blessed already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He begins to receive this revelation from the Lord that we have been actually identified in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are actually identified in His ascension into the heavenlies, and that you and I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, and we have been raised up with Him, and we have been forgiven of all trespasses. We have redemption through His blood and we have the complete and total forgiveness of sins. Isn't that exciting, church? So he begins getting all this after Acts 28 is over. So after the book of Acts concludes, that's when he begins getting a lot of these rich, deep stuff, you know, that we love so much and that we cherish so much. He gets a lot of this stuff after Acts 28. Now, in your handout, it says God had a mystery then that he kept secret. He kept it hidden. It was something, this mystery was this, and it's in your handout there. God would take believing Jews and Gentiles and bring them together in Christ to form a new organism, the body of Christ. And it says in your handout that this truth is not found in the law or in prophecy. And it's interesting, you know, if you do a study on this, and I'm just going to kind of talk to you for a minute here. Paul, if you ever study Matthew, book of Matthew, Christ comes and is born, and then Christ's ministry begins. You know what Matthew says over and over again in that book? He says that Christ did this that it might be fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah wrote, or that it might be fulfilled what was written by the prophet Jeremiah, or what he did this that it might be fulfilled that which was written by the prophet, you know, whatever. And over again, Matthew uses that term, that it might be fulfilled. In other words, there were things back here in the prophets, and then Christ did those things that was prophesied, and Matthew would say he did it that it might be fulfilled. You will never find Paul, as he's dispensing this body of truth for us, you'll never hear Paul using that terminology, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet. That's fascinating when you study that. Now, Paul does mention Old Testament prophets, and he uses them as an illustration, and he'll use something they wrote to illustrate a truth to the body of Christ, but he never uses the term that it might be fulfilled that which so-and-so wrote. Why is that? Well, the reason for that is because the Apostle Paul got this new revelation from Christ. And he said it was kept secret. It was hidden. And then God gave it to Paul. Now, let me explain this to you. Go to Romans 16, right after the book of Acts is Romans. And go to Romans 16. And I do want to explain something to you that might be confusing. The foundation, and while you're turning, hopefully you can think about this. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to really think about this. It's not a trick question. It's really a rather simple question. So don't make it harder than it is. Here it is. What is the foundation for us, the body of Christ today? What's the foundation we're built on? Yeah, it's not a trick question. What is it? Jesus Christ and His... What did Paul say the gospel was? The death, burial, resurrection of Christ. So we're built on that foundation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now hear me. This truth of Christ's work, His death, burial, and resurrection, that truth was revealed in the law and the prophets. And Paul, in the book of Acts, we see him going into the synagogues and into different places, making Christ manifest by using those Old Testament scriptures. Paul, in order to prove that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is the one, he would go back here in the prophets and point out, because remember what Christ told the two men on the road to Emmaus? Bible says he sat down and he showed them the things that were written of him in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. So it's there. It's there. And so Paul would go and he would explain who Christ was, and he would explain that by using those Old Testament prophets. In other words, the facts of the gospel are back there in the Old Testament. The facts are there. The fact that this Messiah would come, the fact that he would die, that he would rise from the dead, those facts are there. And when we examine the Old Testament Scriptures in light of Paul's revelation and knowledge, then we can begin to see and understand certain pictures and types of Christ in the Old Testament. And man, it's a beautiful thing, and we rejoice in it, and we see it. And we can understand Old Testament Scriptures that foretold His sacrifice on the cross and even of His resurrection by looking back now in retrospect on this side of the cross, and in light of the knowledge we got through Paul, we can look back at the Old Testament and see all the beautiful types and pictures and the veiled references to different things. We can see that and we can rejoice in that. But here's what I want you to see, okay, tonight. Peter, the leader of the 12, who lived and walked and ministered with Christ for 3 years, Peter did not understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was a mystery, okay, to him. Peter did not get it. If you go to Luke 18, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 18, 31 through 34, you know what Jesus told the 12? He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again. Bible says they understood none of those things. Another place over in Matthew 16, Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die. And he said, not so, Lord. He got worked up over it. When they came to arrest him, you remember me mentioning Sunday night, I think it was, when they came to arrest Peter, or arrest Jesus, Peter was ready to fight. You know, he cut the ear off of the servant. Now get a load of this. Even after the cross and the resurrection, Peter and John go to the sepulcher. It's empty. Bible says they went away afraid, and the Bible says Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Okay? He appeared to her. She knew who he was. The Bible says the disciples were off mourning and weeping. And the Bible says that when Mary Magdalene came and told the 12, now it's 11 because of Judas, you know, so it's 11 now. But when Mary Magdalene came and told them that she had seen Christ, the Bible says they believed her not. So even after the cross and the resurrection, the 12, the 11 didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Okay? Now, what I'm wanting you to see here is that even though it was back there, the facts of it, what God was going to accomplish through the cross work of Christ was not revealed until Paul. That's what I want you to see. And I think I got it in your handout there. The truths of all that would be accomplished, not just the facts of it, what God was going to accomplish through the cross work of Christ and the new organism that would be created, the body of Christ, was a mystery until revealed to and through Paul. Now again, let me emphasize, the facts of what God was going to do, His death, burial, and resurrection, it was revealed. All right? The facts were there. But what God was going to do and accomplish through the cross, in other words, that through the cross, a middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles would be broken down. The fact that through the cross, Jews and Gentiles would become one body in Christ. The fact that through the cross, God was going to offer peace and reconciliation to sinners everywhere in the world, and they would experience a complete and total forgiveness of sins and be seated in heavenly places in Christ. All that God would accomplish through the cross was not revealed. It was a mystery. It was kept secret until God started revealing all that to Paul, and then He gave it to us. See, the facts of the gospel were there in the prophets. But what God was going to accomplish today in the dispensation of grace and all this, all of that was kept secret. It was a mystery, and it was hidden, and it was unrevealed. Look at Romans 16. I think I had you turn there, didn't I? It's a long time ago I said that. Romans 16. Look at verse 25. Romans 16, 25. I think this will probably be the last verse we'll look at. Romans 16, 25 says, Paul said, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to, notice what he calls it, what? My gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, notice, Paul preached Christ, but he preached it according to the revelation of the mystery. He didn't preach it like Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Peter preached the cross as it was a terrible thing. You took your Messiah. You crucified him. Shame on you. You need to repent of it. He didn't preach it that way. Paul gloried in the cross. Paul gloried in what was accomplished on the cross. It wasn't revealed to Peter yet. So Paul said that he preached my gospel. He said, I preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Notice, which was, and what's the next two words, church? Say it again. It was what? Kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Remember, I told you, the foundation of the mystery is the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's why he says, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The facts of what was going to happen were there in the prophets, but you see, Paul preached those facts according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. So in other words, there was some information back here that God gave about the cross, but God didn't tell anybody what he was going to do through it. God didn't tell anybody what he was going to accomplish through it. God didn't tell anybody about the dispensation of grace he was going to offer to the world through the cross. God didn't tell anybody of the fact that he was going to reconcile Jews and Gentiles by the cross into one body. All that was stuff that was hidden. And so Paul said, I preach it, but I preach it according to the revelation that God gave Paul of the mystery, which was kept secret. So I hope that helps you to kind of understand that. Paul was the first to have a complete understanding of the cross. You're not going to find a grace age understanding of the cross in the law. You're not going to find a grace age explanation of the cross in the prophets. Not going to find it. You're not going to find even Peter preaching it on the day of Pentecost. You're not going to find any of the 12 apostles proclaiming those blessed truths in the book of Acts. Now get this, and I'm done. The law, remember the law and the prophets? The law provided and detailed Israel's old covenant with God. Prophecy dealt with the establishment of a future new covenant that God's going to make with Israel. So the law dealt with the old covenant. Prophecy promised them a future new covenant. In between those two, the law and prophecy being fulfilled out there in the future with Israel, in between those two is an intervening period of grace that we're living in which God is offering to all individuals in the world grace, peace, and reconciliation to himself through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. This period we're living in is called the dispensation of grace. God gave us truth to live by today, and he gave it through our spokesman, the Apostle Paul. God, listen to me now, God has made known to us, Ephesians 1:9, the mystery of his will. It's been made known. Not secret anymore. It's not a mystery anymore. You hear people talk about, I'm trying to find God's will. Well, aren't you glad to know he's already made it known? Amen. It's right here. Okay? God's will has been made known. And it's in a book. And it's right here. And if you want to know God's will for your life, get in the book. Get your nose in the book. Because as you study the Word, the word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, so that you make decisions based on what we said Sunday, sound judgment. And it comes from this book. Amen. See, God's will is not mysterious anymore. It's been made known. Listen, folks. It's as if God has taken us into his inner circle. And it's as if God has taken us into his inner circle, and God has revealed his ultimate purpose to us. It's been made known. God made it known through Paul. And that's why Paul said it was given to him to fulfill or complete God's Word. Now, here's my original question. Why did Paul say it was given to him to complete the Bible, to finish it? Here's why. Paul's ministry wasn't to add to the law. It was complete and finished and done. And get this, Paul's ministry wasn't to add to the law. Paul's ministry was not to add information about the prophetic program, prophecy, the law and the prophets. So Paul's ministry wasn't to add information about the prophetic program out there in the future for Israel. Paul was given, and in your handout it says, that God gave to Paul new revelation for us, the body of Christ. And that's why it was given to him to fulfill and complete God's Word. So now you know what you've got right here in this book? You can break this book down into three categories. The law, it's complete and done. The prophets, it's complete. God told you everything He's going to tell you about His prophetic program. And then you got Paul's revelation to the body of Christ today. And that completes, that fulfills the Word of God. Okay? All right. I hope that's a help to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. And thank You for how rich and how powerful it is.